This is a special recording from three services held at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach to honor our beloved pastor, Chuck Smith. Although we mourn the loss, we rejoice that he is now with the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he loves so much.
Good evening. It's good to see you. I know even in a group this size, an intimate group, and yet enough of a sampling of people that not everybody in here knows Pastor Chuck, and that's okay, because he wouldn't want everybody to know him. He'd want everybody to know Jesus, right? That's his heart. But the fact of the matter is that whether we all know him or do not know him, that we all have tasted or are tasting of his ministry, whether we realize it or not. Those that don't know, and there's probably few that don't, that Pastor Chuck went home to be with the Lord this week. 86 years of life this side of heaven, and millions to go beyond. But the one picture I have is a grin bigger than the grin you ever saw on Chuck. When you think of Pastor Chuck, at least I think it's safe, most people do, when they think of him, you think of that grin. If you go on the internet right now and you just Google Pastor Chuck, 85, 90% of the pictures that pop up are that huge, it's not a silly grin, it's just that big, giant grin. It's just the joy of the Lord. It's not feigned. It's not like, oh, I think I should smile for the camera. That wasn't Chuck. It's just the joy of the Lord. But can you imagine the grin when he first arrived? Boy, if he wasn't in a fallen body, his cheeks would hurt, but that doesn't happen in the new body. But over 40 years ago, Chuck set in motion a movement, a very simple movement, just of teaching the Bible in a very clear, easy to understand way. Not the first guy to do that either. We understand that. But in a way that was thorough, cover to cover, right? From Genesis to Revelation. And in an environment where everybody was welcome. Anybody that wanted to come hear the Word of God, they could come in. And we've done that here at Refuge. People say, oh, we're going to let, if this group comes in or if those kind of people. Yeah, if they're here to hear the Word of God, absolutely, absolutely. And so that was set in motion over 40 years ago in a model of a church. And again, not the only one, but a beautiful model of a church that grew to, I don't know the exact number, but roughly 1,600 Calvary chapels around the globe. And Refuge, of course, being one of those. So it's tough for our pastor, Pastor Bill, to not be here on this weekend. We have a little different service than normal. And he really, really is torn. Talked to him a few times on by way of email, and it's really rough on him, but he knows he's where he's supposed to be, wishes he was here, prepared a little video for us that I'd love for you guys to see before we worship the Lord. So I think we're queued up, and we'll see this right now.
Hi, Pastor Bill here. The sun is just coming up here on Friday morning in Sydney. I got the news last night as I just climbed into bed in the hotel that Pastor Chuck had gone on to be with Jesus, and I am so... obviously, like so many, a mix of emotions. I love the man and his touch upon my life. My family would not be what my family is without Pastor Chuck's love for Jesus and his love for the lost. And so I so wish that I could be with you today. It's times like this that the family of Christ gathers and we prop each other up and we remind ourselves God did not intend death. God intended us to live with him forever. And though what death has done has interrupted a timeline for those who are believers in Jesus Christ, it doesn't stop us, and it did not stop Pastor Chuck. So may we keep that confidence in our hearts and keep it alive as we continue to serve Jesus. Because I know that what Pastor Chuck would want more than anything and what he always rejoiced in was that the extent of God's work was so far beyond Chuck and Kay themselves, and they rejoiced over what God was doing at Refuge, and often we would talk about that, and I just brag on you as a congregation, but I'm so thankful for you, and I so wish that I could be there with you as you gather this weekend to but obviously to worship Jesus, but to give thanks for a man and his wife who had such great impact on all of us. I don't know if I said this already, but my family would not be what we are without Chuck's determination to reach out in Jesus' name. And so there's a verse that's always on my heart at a time like this, but now more than ever. May we be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. May God bless you today. May he pour out his spirit upon you and confirm your faith in him, that you would serve him with all that's left of your life. There is nothing else that matters. That song by Robin Mark, when it's all been said and done. Well, now it's all been said and done for Chuck. And he starts a new phase of his life. Death did not stop Pastor Chuck, and it will not stop any of us either, as we trust Jesus and love him and live for him. So be steadfast, immovable, abound in the work of the Lord. I am convinced that the first thing Chuck said when he stepped into heaven was something like, "All right," as he looked at all that God had made for him, all that he had prepared for him, to look upon the face of the one that he loves so much and to see him finally face to face. And I love this thought too. It'd be the same for me when he stepped across the threshold, saw the face of Christ, and then saw his brother, his big brother who had already passed away many years ago, and his mom and his dad and his loved ones. I rejoice in that thought so much. So, Saints of Refuge, the baton is in our hands. Let's continue to tell our world about the love of Jesus Christ, and let's not stop until we see Jesus face to face. I love you all. Grace and peace on you in Jesus' strong name.
Amen. Amen. And Father, we're here. God, you have called us here. We're not here by accident, none of us. And Lord, we have different callings, not all the same as Chuck's, but Lord, all the same desire on your part for us that we would be faithful, God, that we would be steadfast, Lord, that we would be immovable, Lord, that we would live such a life that would be marked by a way of example, Lord, that people could look and say, yeah, that's somebody that lived for Jesus. And so, God, we look to you to do that in and through us, God. Your word says that you work in us both to will and do those things of your good pleasure. So, Father, thanks for the work you've been doing. Thanks for your patience in the work, especially for people like me, a little slow. But, God, you're good and you're faithful, and we love you, and we want to live for you in all of our days. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I was first made aware of this man called Pastor Chuck. My mom told me that my cousin, a few years older than me at the time, was going to some weird tent church thing in Costa Mesa, and she sounded a little concerned, and my response at the time, as an all-wise and all-knowing 16-year-old, I said, oh, that's really weird, and I had no idea what I was talking about, no idea what this movement was, no idea why they were in a tent, no idea what they were preaching. I didn't even know what preaching was, for that matter, but no idea what they were preaching and who was leading this particular odd church. But then it was about 3 years later, 1975. I had, at this point, just been politely kicked out of University of San Diego at the end of my sophomore year and made my way back up the coast to Huntington Beach, where my folks were living, and moved back in with them. And at that time, had a couple of part-time summer jobs, both of which were very significant. One of them was to deliver these tickets that people basically made a donation to the Firemen's Benevolent Fund. So somebody would call people's house, random numbers, and say, hey, would you like to donate to such and such? And if somebody said, yeah, they said, okay, well, we'll have somebody that'll come to the house. Obviously, this is pre-electronic, pre-buying stuff online. And so somebody will come to the house and pick up your check, your cash, and give you the ticket to this special ball or whatever. So my job, I was the guy that would go to people's houses to do this. So one particular weekday evening, back in 1975, I was making one of those delivery pickups, picking up a check, knocked on the door, and I was in an area in Costa Mesa that I later heard referred to as Gospel Gulch. I had no idea what that meant at the time, but I found out later why, because this was an area just in the other side of Fairview, just north of Sunflower, that had hundreds of these fourplexes, and a lot of believers that went to Calvary Costa Mesa lived there. And so they called it Gospel Gulch. I had no idea about this. So I go to the door, I knock on the door, and this young guy, not as young as me, I'm 19, he's probably 30, but really nice guy with a very genuine, not a pretentious, just a real smile, real warm, says, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember the phone call. Come on in, which was very unusual because typically when I did this, people would say, oh, that's right. Yeah, man, I said yes to that. All right, well, just wait out there and I'll get my check. But this guy was really cool. And so his wife overheard the conversation. She says, oh, yeah, I'll get the checkbook. So she was really sweet. She gets the checkbook, gives it to him. Well, he's writing out the check for this benevolent fund. She says to me, hey, would you like something to eat? Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? I said, oh, wow, that's cool. No, thanks. I'm fine. I said, but you could maybe answer a question for me, because I had peered around into the living room. At this point, I'm standing right in the entryway of their house. They were nice enough to say, yeah, come on in. Most people say, no, you wait there. But they say, yeah, come on in. And so I looked over to the left in their living room, and I see a group of about 10 people in kind of a circle, which is a little weird. They're all about the same age as these guys. And then I see on their laps these big black books, all kind of looking the same with a little ribbon hanging on the end of them. They weren't all black. Some were tan, leather. But it was a little bit weird to me. And so I said, not in a way that was condescending, but I was really just curious. And I said, so what are you guys doing? What's that all about? And they said, oh, well, we go to a church just around the corner, Calvary Chapel, and we do a home group. Once a week, we just get together, and we open up the Bible, and we read it, and just get to know Jesus better and how his word applies to our life. And so we do this once a week, and this is what we do. This is who we are. I was really blown away. I'd never seen anything or heard of anything like that in my life. And I got the check and proceeded to leave. And then a couple days later, even during that, probably that night, as I'm driving around, I thought, gosh, there's something about those people. There's a genuineness. There's a realness. There was certainly a welcomeness as they welcomed me into their home. You know, 19-year-old punk, long-haired kid expelled from college, and I was impressed. And also, what really hit me is the countenance. There was on their face, I guess you'd say like a fulfillment. You could just see it on their face. There was something about them that was something very different. So 2 days later, I thought, I want to go talk to those people. I got to find out more about this because there's something there, and I want that. I want what those people have. It seems real. It seems genuine. So I had, I went there 2 days later, went to this Gospel Gulch thinking I'll find them. Stupidly, I go there during the daytime. You know, who's home during the day? So this is the time I had. So I knock on the door. I think it's the right place. Nobody answers. So I go down a few more doors. I knock on the door. Nobody answers. This is stupid. I'm going to try one more. Maybe I'll go in the back unit. Maybe there's somebody in one, because it's a fourplex. Maybe somebody in the back knows. Maybe they know these people. So I look and I see a stairway that goes up to an upper story unit behind that front unit where these people lived, or a unit like theirs. And I see the screen door is closed, but the door behind it is open. The actual front door is open. So, oh, cool, somebody's there. So I run up the stairs and I knock on the door and I see a young person about my age with a bunch of textbooks. Turns out she's a student at Cal State Long Beach. And I said, hey, I know this sounds really weird and you think, who is this guy? And I told her the story. I told her what had happened. I said, I want to talk to those people. They were really intriguing to me. I'd like to talk to them. Do you know who these people are? Have you heard about anything like this amongst all these fourplexes here? This place is a zoo. But you know, do you know about that? Are they somewhere in this vicinity? She goes, oh yeah, yeah, they are. She goes, I go to that sometimes. I know who those people are. She goes, I just happened to be home studying today. I typically never miss class. But today I just felt, you know, I'm going to just stay home and study. She goes, I've never done that before. And I'm thinking, well, this is strange. And so she just began to share with me about the Lord. And she gave me a gospel of John. It was in a booklet form. And so in that gospel of John, it basically presented what I think is the ultimate gospel tract, just laying out the story of Jesus. And at the end of that, the publisher who printed this had a little prayer with a question preceding it. And the question said, having read this account of Jesus Christ, is there any reason why you would not ask him to forgive you of all the wrong that you've done? Any reason that you would not ask him to be the Lord and Savior of your life? I thought about it. I thought, gosh, you know, there is no reason There is no reason. I was sitting at the time at my second job, which was a bellman at the Sheraton on PCH, when I read that. And so just in that little cubicle closet, basically, is where they gave me to sit when somebody wasn't ringing my bell to come bring them food. That's where I was. And I sat and I read it and I prayed that prayer and gave my life to Jesus Christ. But the point I wanted to make to you here was not to tell you that story about me, but to tell you that my first encounter of Chuck's ministry was tasting of the fruit of it in those people's lives, indirectly, and these people that were very different, these people that stood out. These were people that were part of that fellowship that responded to the word of God. This was part of their life. And so they took it in when they were there at church, and they did it when they were at home. It was just part of who they were. And so that impact reached beyond their lives, right? It reached to those that were in their sphere of influence. I happened to be in their sphere of influence that particular night that I came by their house. And so they were just 10 of what, 10,000 people that maybe were attending that church in 1975? And yet they were an indirect result. They were healthy sheep. They were well fed by Pastor Chuck. And as he would say, healthy sheep beget more sheep. They reproduce sheep. And so I was a direct result of that. And I would like to say to you guys that you are that 10. You are like that. The word of God is impacting you. It affects who you are. It affects your countenance. People see something different in you. They see Jesus in you, and you have that influence, and people catch that. And I would just encourage you to continue to use it. Continue to feed on the word, be a healthy sheep, and you'll just naturally reproduce. People catch it. I caught it in my second job. So I read it there. My other job, I told you, as a bellman at the Sheraton. There was somebody that was a desk clerk there. Her name was Billy. She's now my wife. And I remember looking at her thinking, you know, she looks like those people. There's something different about her. Now, she was younger than them. She was younger than me. She was a senior at Huntington Beach High School at the time. I know, cradle robber. But I thought, man, she is very different. She's different than those people that I partied with at USD. There's something different, and I like that, and I see that. Now I get it. I know what that is. And so shortly after I had received Christ in that little closet just off the front desk there at the Sheraton, I asked her out 38 years ago tonight. 38 years ago. And we, thank you. And this, again, this is not about me, but it was on that date. And I wasn't trying to be spiritual with her. I just said, hey, I understand you go to that church. I had not gone there yet. And I was a brand new believer. You go to that big church there, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Why don't we both have that Sunday night off, 38 years ago today. We'll go to there for a service, and then we'll go out to dinner that night. And so that was the first time that I directly encountered, indirectly by those people, just like you, having been influenced by the word of God, ultimately coming down from Chuck teaching us to do that. But then directly being there on a Sunday night, blown away, walking those doors thinking, this is crazy. I'd never seen anything like it. 2,500 people on a Sunday night. I said to Billy, I said, why are they here? Do they have to be here? She goes, no, they don't have to be here. They want to be here. I said, really? This is awesome. This is crazy. And so we had that time there where there was well over an hour, just in-depth study in the Word of God. So this morning's service is going to be kind of like a memorial, if we can bring up those slides there, in that we're going to remember how God has used Chuck in our lives, whether it be directly or indirectly, kind of reflect on that, just like you do at a memorial, right? You remember the person, you reflect on the word of God as it relates to the person, and then typically what we like to do in our memorials is we call people to respond somehow to that. And so that's what we're going to do here this morning, and we're going to hear different people's Chuck's story. You're going to share your Chuck story. So I'm going to have Jeff come up first.
I have, just quickly, the two quick small ones was 1990, freshman in high school, the first Harvest Crusade at the Pacific Amphitheater. I remember I was on crutches. I just had knee surgery, and Chuck was up giving the gospel message, and there was just something that just compelled me to go forward, and just the salvation of receiving Jesus that night for the first time, and it was an incredible thing. The second thing, is when I was coming back to the Lord, there's this a friend that I had from high school, and he was a Jesus freak. Like, he loved the Bible, and he was always in the Bible and always reading the Bible, even as a freshman, a young kid, and he was on my baseball team with me. And he invited me to come to a Bible study that he was doing. I was just come back from college, and he just loved the Bible, and he just loved Jesus, and he loved Chuck. I mean, he just really loved Chuck. And he was on staff at Costa Mesa, and he was teaching the study, and I started listening, and it was just some of the vibrancy about this young man that I'd never experienced anywhere before. And so he encouraged me to continue to study the Bible and know about grace and understand grace. And he started sharing that, and that radically affected my life. And then the biggest thing, you know, as I look at my life, has been the influence of my mother and father-in-law and my wife, who I love deeply. And I think about where they would have been had Chuck not been faithful. Because that's what this is about, isn't it? It's not about Chuck. It's about the faithfulness of a man of God to the very end, teaching last Sunday in the pulpit, saying, I'm going to keep fighting, and I'm going to keep fighting, and I'm going to keep sharing. So when I think about my wife at home, she's probably watching. She's with the girls this morning. And I think about the woman of God that she is, faithfulness to the Lord and to her family and to me, and how much she loves ministry. She's been so emotional this week as she's listened to K-Wave like every second, as she listens to the worship songs and the hymns and all the part that she grew up with and she loves, and she's been weeping, and I haven't been weeping at all, and here I am weeping in front of you. But I think about the impact that Bill has on all of our lives and Joy has on all of our lives, and I think about their direct ripple effect of an impact of a man by the name of Chuck. And I'm so thankful and grateful for that man and his faithfulness. And I know you all are as well. And I think in the days coming, as we hear more and more stories in this morning, you're going to see this ripple effect that happens. And just real quick, and I'm done. I just asked the kids in the back, the high schoolers, I don't want them to not know who this name Chuck Smith guy is. And so I asked them, I said, you raise your hand if you know who Chuck is. And there's about probably 10 or 15 of them that had no idea who Chuck was. I think part of what we want to do is just kind of share his story. And again, not to idolize or worship Chuck. It's not what we're about. It's Jesus in Chuck that we want to replicate. And so these 10 or 15 kids, they need to know that there's this 2,000 plus churches all over the world today that are there because of the faithfulness of a man and then men he reproduced and said, be faithful, be faithful. So I'm very thankful, and I'm looking forward to hearing your stories.
Thanks, Jeff. That was, appreciate you wearing your heart in your sleeve, man. Joy, there you are. Joy is going to make her way up here. And as she is, this is Pastor Bill's wife, so welcome her if you would. Let me say very quickly that if you're here for the first time, this isn't a typical service. Normally, this time, Pastor Bill would be taking us through a study, a captivating study in the Word of God. We're in Galatians. Next week, we'll return to that. But Joy's going to tell her Chuck story.
Well, it does occur to me that there are a number of people in here that are new, and maybe a lot of you are younger, and you have no idea what we're talking about when we go back in the tent days. And, you know, back in the tent days, though, I first met Chuck Smith, and I think it was 1971. My precious husband, Bill, introduced me to him, took me to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, right over there, and there was this huge circus tent that was there set up. It had the these huge heaters when it was cool at night, and they blow, and it was an incredible time. We talk about parking here. There was no parking there. You know, you didn't mind walking a long way to get to the meeting and stuff, and it was all because of that acceptance of Christ that we had through Pastor Chuck. Chuck was a man who loved the people. He loved the people of God. His method of ministry was sheep will beget sheep. You preach the word, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else, and that's what drew people to Christ. And that when we accepted the Lord, then we couldn't hold it back. We would share with other people the wonderful things that we have through Christ, that we wanted everybody to be saved. I want everybody to be saved. I want everybody to be there looking at the face of God. So the first time that I actually met Chuck face-to-face, though, I was at the tent by myself. Bill was not with me. We used to be able to sit on the floor in the front. And I was sitting on the floor right in front and just enjoying this time. And I had a full day's work in before I got there. And here I am sitting on the floor, and I fell asleep. And so the first time that I met Chuck eye to eye was when I woke up, because he was preaching and he was looking right at me, right into my eyes. And so that was my first encounter with Pastor Chuck face to face. But the acceptance that was there, the love of Christ that was there, the way, you know, we talk about there were coats and ties and there were jeans and there were all kinds of, it was a hippie movement. It was something that God ordained because there was a faithful man who prayed. He prayed and he sought the Lord for the direction. This is a man who, when he was offered $1 million to go to the church for the work of the church, $1 million was needed. But he took it to the Lord and he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do about this $1 million? And the Lord said, "I don't want you to take it." And so he went to the man and he said, "I'm sorry, we won't be taking your gift." He took it to the Lord. He loved the Lord first. He was in love with Jesus Christ. And that love permeated to all of us. There has been crying for sure. And with my daughter, Bethany, Jeff's wife, we've been talking, and she talks about Chuck being a spiritual grandfather to her. Now, we normally don't say we have a spiritual grandfather, that there are no grandchildren of God, there are only children of God, but a granddaughter of Chuck spiritually, in terms of what he did, his faithfulness did in our own lives, in our lives, and that we've passed that on. And so, yep, there have been tears. There have been a lot of tears. And the tears are the sadness of what I'm going to miss. It's very selfish. You know, we mourn, but not as the world mourns. We mourn for with that hope that we're going to see him again, and we will see him again. I miss his presence, and they're happy tears of rejoicing, though, for the legacy that he's left behind. For I am really shaking right now, and I really don't want to cry because just no makeup on this face doesn't look good. The legacy that he left behind. God is looking to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself faithful to the man whose heart is wholly given to him. God is a man of his word and has shown his faithfulness to Pastor Chuck, whose heart was wholly given to Christ and who has passed that faithfulness on to us with the challenge to carry on and completely give ourselves to Christ. I'm rich for the time that I was able to sit under his teaching and being challenged to press on to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering to be conformed unto his death. That is what I will take with me throughout the rest of my life and just perhaps be able to carry on that legacy to the people in the church, to call all of us to come, let us return unto the Lord. And precious Kay, I know God is always good and will take care of this precious saint. My prayers are with her. The Pastor's Wives Conference is going to be very different this year. It starts on Monday, and our prayers go out to everyone who is a part of that. There will be many tears, but also the challenge to carry on this precious legacy that has been left to us. Let us press on to know, recognize, appreciate, give heed to cherish the Lord. I'm so thankful that we took the time to tell these precious ones face to face of how they touched our lives. Wow, it's right. He's seeing God face to face. How exciting. You know, and it just, I heard, whether or not it's true, but what I did hear was that his last words were, "All right." And those of you who know anything of Pastor Chuck, that was who he was. He was excited about walking with the Lord, and he wanted you to be excited about walking with the Lord. So let's not let, the other thing that I wanted to say. He said, one day you're going to hear somebody say, Chuck Smith has died. Don't you believe it? Because I will go on with the Lord. And that's the thing that he would leave behind. He, one day, somebody's going to say, Joy Welsh died. Mm. Don't you believe it? Because we're all going to be with Jesus. All you have to do is accept him as your Lord and Savior and follow the faithfulness of this man. God bless you guys.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Joy. Faithfulness, that's been a lot of what we've talked about, right? Faithfulness. And I want to hear your Chuck stories, your Pastor Chuck stories in a moment. One more that you're gonna hear as it relates to this band I just happen to be wearing. One's a barbed wire band, not real barbed wire, to remember to pray for those that are incarcerated for their faith. The other band is for Caitlin. Many of you have seen Pastor Bill wear his bracelet that says Caitlin. Some of you know her as Katie, is my hero. And heroes can be a healthy thing. Sometimes they can be unhealthy, right? We have unhealthy examples of heroes in our culture. But in a good sense, you can have that. You have heroes of the faith, right? You have those people like Dave, and you think, man, that guy's like my hero because he was just real and he made his mistakes, but he had a heart for God. Or Pastor Chuck, a man that was faithful with the calling in his life, that pressed on to the very end, that didn't let those physical circumstances of his cancer keep him from doing what he was called to do, which ultimately is just, for all of us, just to brag on Jesus, right, with our lives and with our words. And so Katie is one of those heroes because that's her. She's pressing on despite what's going on physically because her spirit soars because of Jesus. And I see her dad. And there you are. Okay, you have no idea how much this glare is up here. Katie, how are you, everybody? There she is right in the center. Would you just say, woo! All right. Another hero. How you doing?
I'm doing better, and I wanted to thank you all for praying for me, and you guys have saved my life. You and God have saved my life.
Awesome. You've had a, you know, in boxing, maybe you don't know in boxing. Some of you know in boxing. There's that trainer in the corner. You've got that person in the corner that keeps you going when after you've been thrashed and beaten. And it's been, if it's UFC, there's only a few rounds. Or if it's regular boxing, maybe 10 rounds. I don't want to do this anymore. And you've got that person in your corner saying, you can do this. Get up, you can do this. And your dad has been that. Your mom as well. But I've had more interaction with him. And so it's very cool. To see you, because now we're seeing the result of our prayers, as you said. It's awesome. You're loved, Katie. You are loved.
Thank you.
All right. Very cool. And I think you could say there's an indirect result of the ministry, because this church is a result of the ministry of Chuck's, and it spreads out. And you all are having that effect. As I said, you're like that 10 in that home group. You've got your own spheres of influence. Katie has her own spheres of influence, but you've been instrumental. You will share in the fruit of her life because you've been praying for her. And so when you get those rewards in heaven, the Lord says, well, you got this and that. And well, I didn't do that. Yeah, Katie did that. I know. The Lord will say, I know. But you prayed for her. You encouraged her. You supported her. So you share in that as well. So it's good to have Katie here. Some more Chuck stories. Hello.
Hi. I met Chuck in 1971. I was a hippie in high school, and I went to high school in the 60s, graduated in 1970, and it started out as, I thought, really nice. You know, I did get into some of the drugs, but my friends all around me, they got so bad. They got into heroin, and I just really went into depression, but I really didn't know any other kind of life.
Mm.
And I got really, really depressed because some of my friends even overdosed and died. And I was like, I got so depressed that one weekend I attempted suicide in 1971.
Mm.
And one of my friends who had started going to Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa called me up. And what happened was I got rushed to the hospital. But my parents had me sent over to a hospital called Norwalk. Some of you older people know what that is, for a two-week observation to make sure that I was going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
The very weekend I got out of the hospital, my friend Debbie called me up and said, would you like to go to Calvary Chapel, you know, church with me? And I'm like, I've never heard of it, whatever. And she said, well, you come with me. And she, so she came with her friend named Dave, was driving the car, bringing her, Dave, and Debbie and I went down that night. And the thing that impressed me about Chuck was he told me not only did Jesus die for me, but he could give me a new life.
Amen. Amen.
And that was the whole answer right there, because at that time I hated my life. I hated what my friends were doing. And when I saw these other hippies, like, he said their countenance, they had found joy, and that Chuck told me I could have a new life by following Jesus. That night, I accepted the Lord.
Amen.
And 2 months only 2 months later, Dave and I got married in 1971.
Yeah.
And continued there for many, many years, then went on to a smaller church, and today I cannot believe how many Calvary chapels. And my husband became the treasurer, the Sunday school supervisor. He brought the equipment, the sound equipment, to the church that was the beginning of this church now.
Yeah.
But it was all Chuck Smith. It was such a simple message. Yeah. And just hit straight to my heart that not only salvation, but a brand new life to be reborn. That's what I needed that very night, was to be reborn into Jesus.
Amen. Thanks, Linda. That's awesome.
Hi, I came to the Lord in 2006, not too long ago, and the first church I ever stepped foot into was Costa Mesa, and I came one day, and there was this guy driving around a golf cart, and he had like this extender hand, you know, like you can reach like...
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it,
yeah.
And he was picking up trash, and I was like, hey, you're Chuck. He's like, oh, hey, how are you? And so that was my first time. And then a couple years later, I was serving with Garrett Beeler, and I was at the Logos building. And we're talking about great leaders of the Bible, Moses. And here opens the elevator, and Chuck Smith comes out with his cane. I'm like, oh, speak of Moses. And he's like, oh, you know, he's like, he's like, well, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, you got to be a servant of all. And so those were just a few great memories with him.
Amen. Yeah. And he lived that too, right? He didn't just say that. He lived that. That's right. All right. Jason, there's a guy right there. There's a guy with his hand raised, but you got something too. Tell us that as you make your way back there, would you?
Yeah. Obviously, my wife and I, we grew up at Calvary Costa Mesa. That was our home church before this. Chuck Smith was the one that when I absolutely hated God, I walked away, don't remember a word he said. All I remember is the Spirit touching me saying, hey, is what you're doing satisfying you? And it was and then I walked out in the front seat of my car. I ended up receiving the Lord, and God really used Chuck Smith to really impact me. And it's, and like we said, it's not about glorifying Chuck. We're remembering Chuck right now.
Yeah.
But he was always about giving glory to the Father.
Amen.
And the Son and the Holy Spirit. He was always about, hey, God gets all the glory and he for what he's done. And the work started in the Spirit, and it's going to continue in the Spirit. And I love that he's passed that on to us, a love for God, a love for his word, a love for his spirit, and that's what you catch it. And some things are caught, not taught. And if you ever see Pastor Chuck, you can tell he loves to serve the Lord with gladness.
Amen.
And
thanks.
Gonna remember
that's
that.
Cool.
So there's another guy right here.
Yay. Thanks, Jay.
In 1986, I got saved, and I'm a musician, and so I'm thinking, now what do I do, Lord? And so the Lord started giving me songs, and somebody told me that a big Calvary on Monday night, they had a talent night, and that I should go. Uh-huh. And so I grabbed my guitar, and I thought, okay, you know, it sounded a little weird to me because I was used to going to the Forum and rock concerts, and I go backstage, and we're backstage at Big Calvary, and there's a line of maybe 10 people that are going to share their talent that night. Uh-huh. And there's Chuck, and I knew who Chuck was, and I knew how prominent he was. Mm-hmm. He never acted like that, obviously, but I knew I went to Calvary Downey. I went to a lot of Calvary chapels, so I knew Calvary Costa Mesa and who Chuck was. And he came up to each one of us and said, okay, what are you gonna share? Mm-hmm. So he came to me, and I had to do like a verse and a chorus of the song I was gonna do. And he went, okay, yeah, that's good. Go ahead. That's great. And I remember as a new Christian going, wow, that's Chuck Smith. and you know, he's the big guy at Calvary Chapel, but he cares enough to make sure that everything that was gonna be shared that night was going to be about Jesus, and it really, really hit me hard as a new Christian.
Yeah.
And really, really affected me in my Christian walk in 1986.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's an example of a shepherd. Jesus said to Peter, before Peter began his ministry, after Jesus rose from the dead, and he said, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. Chuck did that, but I want you to tend my sheep. That's part of tending, and he did that. We got time for one more. Eric, you got anybody over? I see over there. And we'll do two more because I saw another hand behind, two rows behind. Yes.
Pastor Chuck's countenance, which you can see in that picture, brought me to tears. That he was instrumental with the Holy Spirit in saving my dad. My dad would always say he belonged to the round church where he couldn't get cornered. I started taking my dad to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, which was my main. That's where I went to church, and he would look at Pastor Chuck, he would listen, and after a while, his wisecracks stopped, and he started listening, and that along with Pastor Chuck on K-Wave and the other pastors, including Bill, at 4:30, he would listen, and one day we're driving down the freeway, and I, Chuck, and we pulled over, and he accepted the Lord, and he's one of millions of people that the Holy Spirit through Chuck saved and through these churches. And I'm just thankful. And I would go to church in the middle. I would go there in the middle of the day, and Pastor Chuck, like everybody else has seen, he would come out and walk around the grounds. He'd come up to you, and you could feel his spirit. So if you're ever sad, his countenance and Jesus in him,
that's right,
just gave you hope, and he gives me hope today. Jesus is using him and will always use him.
It's the joy of the Lord in his face, right? You see that, yeah.
This is a special recording from three services held at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach to honor our beloved pastor, Chuck Smith. Although we mourn the loss, we rejoice that he is now with the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he loves so much. This is the end of part one.